Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministry. I'm so delighted today to be back on our broadcast, our radio broadcast, for our praise, prayer, and prophecy, for our study in the Word of God. Y'all forgive me. I just give God all praise and glory tonight. I magnify his holy name tonight. I give him praise and honor. I give him reverence, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to each one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank and praise God for this opportunity tonight to study in unity with the family of God. I just give God all the praise and all the glory. I'm going to get ready to read a scripture. We're going to have a short devotion, a scripture, a song, and a prayer. And then we're going to go right on into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 48. Psalms 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. City of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her places, palace for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of tarnish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to this name, to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the end of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of the judgment. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palace, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. I have just read through the Psalm 48 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his holy word. We're going to have a song right here. Damn. Always something.
Jesus, help
me. Now, oh, shit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I come tonight confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. God, I come tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Jesus. I ask you today, God, to move me from this vessel, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit can come in and teach us, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, first of all, God, to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, cover everyone that would listen to this broadcast in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to send down your anointing, God. Take over and take control right now, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you right now to bless their families and keep them all covered, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you do this thing tonight, God. Let us understand and open up our minds and our thoughts, God. Open our hearts, God, that we may receive your word and be receptive to every word, every letter that's in this Bible. In the name of Jesus, and let us not change anything, not one word, not one letter of your word, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. 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 So let it be. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Yeah, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago. I just thank and praise God for this opportunity to be back on our broadcast. We're going to get ready to just go into the Word of God. Okay. That's good. We in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and 24. I did think it was 24 and 25, but it's not. It's 23 and 24. So I thank and praise God for that on tonight. I'm going to get ready to start reading because reading takes up most of our time. So we got to read. Just one second. Let me fix this up right here. Okay. He that is wounded in the stones or have his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard should not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethro of Mesopotamia, not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse. God love thee. Thou should not seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days forever. Thou should not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou should not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land. the children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemy, then keep thee for every wicked thing. There be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chances him by night. Then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening come on, he shall wash himself, himself with water. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whether thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therein and shalt turn back and cover that which covered from thee. Cometh from thee, I'm sorry. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, wherein liken him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. There shall be no whores of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abominations unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend unto usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thy hand to in the land whether thou goest to possess it. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep, and perform even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. And when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes. Thou feel at thy own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. And when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest cluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. Amen.
Chapter 24. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. When a man has given a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. Hold on 1 second. No man shall take the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt, and when thou doest lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into the house to fetch his plague of plague. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou do lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou do lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not, in any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee. And it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gate. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee since. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou puttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again and fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. soul, chapter 23. Trying to get it together here, y'all. Get my word on up here. What type of people could not enter into the assembly of the Lord? What type of people?
The Ammonite and the Moabite.
Yeah.
Verse
that's
three.
Right.
And Ammonite and Moabite.
Huh? I'm trying to see.
I said
here.
Verse 3.
Mm-hmm. The Ammonite and the Moabite. Let me see.
I got verse 1 and 2. Those who were emasculated and those of illegitimate birth.
Mm-hmm. And all of that's right. All of that's right. Because what it is it starts from 1 and 2. You're right. You're right.
Okay, and number 3, too.
Mm-hmm. It goes all the way down because the Ammonites and the Moabites were pagan to the worst degree. They did little images of Baal, false religion, and you know what they was practicing false religion. The Ammonites and Moabites, they were pagan people. Pagan, they had pagan religion, so you definitely didn't want them in there. And see, in that time, you really had to have like a really strong self-discipline. Because it was so much going on in that time. If you weren't disciplined, if you weren't self-disciplined back then, you could just go any kind of way. It was so much stuff going on. And to me, you know, I've seen a lot of pagan people just down at the Eastern Market, and they always have the skeleton heads. They had all the, they have, every time I go down there, they're there. And they have the skeleton here. They have witchcraft stuff out there, everything. But you have to be careful not to let them in the congregation. They couldn't come up in the congregation, the temple, and bring that stuff. So all of them and the other people were, let me see. Let me read down here. It says, cause it's not the one I usually read in, but these people dealt with the law seemed to have had a certain ceremonial character. You know, like the laws of uncleanness, they did not exclude an individual because of its own specific moral sins. Rather, they had a pedagogical or a symbolical function. Furthermore, exclusions from the worship service did not prevent an individual from believing in the Lord and receiving the gifts of eternal life. But see, back then, you had so much going on. And they was trying to define a whole lot of things. And they was putting people out and they was allowing people to stay. But if you didn't really do really, really bad stuff, you could stay. If you just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be able to stay. But if you didn't, you couldn't stay in there. I mean, like some pagan people, they had that a whole nother religion. And they was worshiping little idols and stuff, little bells and stuff, little gods and stuff. So they was doing stuff, and they would do it right there, try to do it right there in the congregation in the temple, and that wasn't allowed. Them Moabites, the Amorites and stuff like that, Ammonites. So that was the bad part of it right there. Let's go to
What's a PV member? Is that the private area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
When it says about even those to the 10th generation and none of his descendants shall enter into the assembly of the Lord, it went, if they could not enter, is that saying that even 10 generations after that?
No, they could not. And if, you know, and if they was caught, they had to get out. That's just like when you read on down how Jezebel and Ahab, Jezebel was practicing that witchcraft, then her daughter, her and Ahab, her husband, then when her daughter grew up, she was doing the same thing. Well, didn't nothing really even happen to them. They did die and stuff, though, but it was the daughter's son that really got it. And he died early. He was little, and he died from what they did because he didn't do nothing. So you have to be careful because that stuff go down to generation. And I ain't saying it's no curse. The word of God says that stuff go down through generations. And that's why you have to be careful with that. Them pagan people, they don't know. They may have a preacher on down to the fifth generation in their family. And then they come, they reaping what their foreparents did. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff. But today, because Jesus died for us, they can repent. But still, it still may bother, like that black girl, she was on something, on Sid Ross, I think, and she was a young woman. She said she was a witch, and she was, but she's not anymore. But what she think her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids? See, we do things without thinking. We do things, and the Bible don't change. It don't lie. We have a Savior now that we can repent, and he died for us for all of our hang-ups and sins, but we got to repent. And if it get too bad, because it says suffer a witch not to live, she's supposed to be dead. It says suffer a witch not to live. You know, so you don't know how this stuff will bring on you or come on you. That's why they didn't want Balaam them and the Amorites and stuff around, period, not period. So you really have to be careful with that. We ain't going to stress too much on it, though. Question. Okay, what was the Israelites never to charge to a fellow countryman who had borrowed anything from them? What was they not to charge them?
Verse 19, interest. Thou shalt not mm-hmm. charge interest to your brother, interest on money
yep.
or food or anything.
Yep, that's it. That's it, that's it. Amen, that's it. And we're going to go back and talk about 23, though. I'm going to go ahead on and answer. We're going to answer these questions in 24, and we're going to discuss some things in 23 because I know we got questions. Chapter 24, could a divorced woman remarry a former man from whom she was divorced? Anybody?
No.
Right.
No, verse 4.
Nope.
Then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. And I wonder, does this apply to the man also?
Well, you know, they treated women and men different back then. They really did. They treated them different. What a man could do, a woman couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I just don't believe so, because they could have, the thing about it, a man could have as many wives as he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could, and it's like Prophet Morton last week scene where he had the man, where they had a war, and the man, like, one of the men he had killed wife, and he took her as his wife, brought her home, and if she didn't, and he felt like she didn't satisfy him, he could tell her to leave.
Mm.
Put her out there. So it was different. It was different from for a woman than it is for back then for a man. And it's still, you know, women still don't get paid equal as a man today. You know, that's how it was back then. Women wasn't as, I guess, valuable because they didn't work and stuff. That's what I feel. It really is, but okay, 24. How long must a newlywed man stay at home before going to war? You know, we had that before, didn't we? I think it was, I done read this stuff so many times. Let me see.
Verse 5, 1 year.
Mm-hmm. You serious, verse 5? I'm looking at it now. 1 year. Okay, what were the Israelites? Let me see. When a man have taken a new wife, he should not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he have taken. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yep, that's about it. 1 year. It was in, I think it was in last week, the week before last, the other, about a man should not go to war. He need to stay at home and tend to his wife, work his vineyards and stuff like that. I think that was last week, so week before last. So. Let me see. Okay, verse 3. What were the Israelites to do with sheaves left in the field at harvest time? Mm-hmm.
Verse 19, he's supposed to go back and get them.
Mm-hmm. And what are you supposed to do with them after that?
Give them to a poor, give them to
mm-hmm.
a stranger. That made me
mm-hmm.
think about, like, in this day and time, if we did that, then we shouldn't have any, the poor or the homeless shouldn't be suffering as much as they are. I don't think if the sheaf was treated as in the same light as anything material, that if...
Right.
To give. That's all I guess I'm trying to say is to give to the poor or to your strangers,
but,
or to the fatherless, to a widow.
Right. It's like, yeah, that's what it is. Verse 21. When thou gatherest the grapes of the vineyard and thou shalt not glean it afterwards, it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widows. But that didn't say sheaves. But that's exactly what you're supposed to do with it. 19, 20, and 21, you're supposed to give it to the elderly. I would say the elderly, the children, you know, the widows, the fatherless, what I would say. But do anyone have any questions before I get to running my mouth? I know I don't have any questions, but you see how in, let me see where it is, how they was talking about the whores in the church, See, this stuff ain't just now started to happen. This is in, let me find, it was in chapter 17. No, let's start at 16. He said, he shall dwell with thee even among you in that place which he shall choose in one of the thy gates where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. And there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abominations unto the Lord thy God. What y'all think that means? It's like prostitution in the church. Because back then, that's what they did too. And they and you know, at a lot of these church conventions, especially the Baptist and all that kind of stuff, that's what they used to do. I don't know about now, but I know for myself, because I know people who did it. Either it was prostitution or they were just giving it away. And these men were pastors. And these pastors was married.
Mm.
Whether they was paying for it or not. And it might not have been in their church house, but it was at the Baptist Convention, the National Baptist Convention. And that's what they were known for throughout generations. Whether they still doing it or not now, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But even back then, that's why it's nothing new under the sun. They were doing it back then. That's something. Even people having sex in the church, they was having. I know people that did that. They was having sex in the temple. Then, but God spoke against that because that's contaminating the house of God. You can't do that. So it's like when God made all these laws and stuff, that's why people were saying they couldn't keep it all. But stuff like that you can keep. All you have to do is do what you're going to do it, not in the house of God, not in the congregation. Because a lot of things he let go on by. You know, but these things he didn't. So we really have to be careful with stuff like that. I'm telling you, you got to be careful when it comes to desecrating the house of God, when it comes to contaminating the house of God. Because that's just like you just walking over God. You just looking over what he stands for. You can't do that. You just can't do it. And you can't, and you're not even supposed to wear anything crazy into the house of God. Because, you know, and it's different when you don't have anything else. But when you come up in there with a dress on and you back out, or like Trina's pastor over in St. Louis, I forgot the name of the church. She was in the pulpit in a sundress. I mean, you could come as you are, but all that was out at the top. She had those little bitty sundress sleeves straps. I wouldn't dare go in the pulpit. See, people don't take that stuff serious. Oh, it's just a building. Yes, it's just a building. But what does it symbolize? What does it stand for? It stands for holiness. No way I could walk up in the pulpit in a sun dress. Not that's when I was down there cleaning the floor and dusting the seat and wouldn't do a thing. Not with all my meat showing. Mm-mm. She was teaching Bible class. I think it was on a Sunday, but I'm just going to give her the benefit of a doubt because I was sitting there looking at her like, Lord, have mercy. What is this? That's why it's so hard for people to see women in that position because they don't take it serious enough to know that you can't do anything in the pulpit. You can't let anybody come up in there. You can't do anything up in there. You're never supposed to go in a pulpit when you're on your period. Period. On your minister cycle. Never. But people do. Women do. I know they have. But that's desecration right there. I mean, these laws, I really feel like they could have kept, but they didn't want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
They could have kept. They were saying if you keep one, you got to keep all of them, you know. And that's why they got the Lord just went on and gave the Ten Commandments, and then the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And. In let's see what verse that is. What verse is this? 19 and 23. It says, "Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent unto the up on usury." Unto a stranger thou mayest lend unto usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thy hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. It's just like when you loan somebody some money, you're not supposed to charge them. I mean, you could do a stranger like that, but your brother, and I'm talking about in Christ, you ain't supposed to charge interest on that money. You're not supposed to do that. Here again, God is saying and insisting that you take care of your brother. And if you loan money, you are not to charge interest in that. And then on one of these I was studying, it was saying, I think it was 17:18, about the harlot and the sodomite among his people. He was saying that he didn't want that in no way, no under no circumstances did he want money in the church from prostitution. Now, you know, I think I told y'all this before, that my ex-husband and I, when we stayed in Louisville, Kentucky, they big on lotteries there. And this guy had won a lottery. He was at the gas station. And he said, "With my winnings, I tore the church up," because he wanted to tithe into the church, and the church didn't want his money to tithe. And it tore the church up. The church closed down. Just tore it up. And I just felt like they probably could have did something with the money, but this is what the Lord was saying. He said he will accept his income from which is illegal, or from which is immoral or wrong. He does not want any of it. They don't want none of that. They don't want nothing that's illegal, what prostitution money. They don't want money coming from that kind of stuff, any illegal thing. And lottery is legal, but any illegal thing or wrong or immoral things, not to be put in the church. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. If you're going to tithe, you're going to tithe from what you work for. The tenth of it. We have any more questions? Any more comments? In chapter 24 said, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. That's like if, because that's what they did back when slavery started. God condemned slavery. There is no questions about it. No, and that's how slavery started, because the Ethiopian people started selling slaves. They started selling slaves to each other. So it just connected. It connected like that. And that's how it started. From then the white man started doing it. God said he condemned slavery. So if he condemned it, you know he didn't like it. And we shouldn't have been doing it. You know, the people. Because God will take care of those who's helpless and less fortunate ones. The widows and I believe the older people, the seniors and stuff like that, he'll take care of them, the ones that can't help themselves and can't do for themselves. I just know God will do that. Let me see. I'm trying to find something else. So, okay. In 23, they was talking about cleanliness. Like in the beginning of first verse 9. Can you read it? In 20, it says, when the host goeth forth against thy enemies, then, am I in the right one? Then keep thee from every wicked thing. And if there be among you any man that is not clean, that was 10, by reason of uncleanness, that chances him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp, but it shall be when evening come on, he shall wash himself with water and when the sun go down, he shall come into the camp again. God was even interested in that, in sanitation. He was interested in everything about them. He gave us like streams and stuff to clean ourselves. He gave us water everywhere, lakes, rivers, everywhere, wells. We ought to keep ourselves clean. You can't be around among the rest of the people and you all dirty and smelly and stinky and polluted everywhere. Cleanliness, and it's not in the word of God, it's next to godliness. It's not in the Bible, but it is cleanliness. When you clean your house, you feel better. When you clean your body, yourself, you feel better. You know, you smell better. People don't look at you funny and all that kind of stuff. People be looking at the people in the parks and all that. If they had a chance to clean themselves, they would. They would. But when you in the camp with people and God got streams and he got rivers and lakes where you can go wash yourself you should do it. You know, and that's what they was trying to establish. If you smelling and you thinking you going on outside the camp, don't stay in here with the rest of them. Don't pollute everything. Mhm. All right, I ain't gonna hold up. Nobody else have anything. We're gonna get ready to close out. I keep going to chapter 25. I don't know why, but about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get ready to close out. We'll be back this Thursday. We'll have chapters 25 and 26 on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for the understanding of your word, God. We just thank you right now, God, for making it clear to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we don't understand everything, but if you said it, God, we believe it in the name of Jesus. So I ask you now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, cover their families, encamp angels all around about them to protect them wherever they are right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, for a clear vision, for a clear mind, God. In the name of Jesus, I give you glory. I give you praise. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. And for your glory, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. So we'll be on in the morning on the live. You all get some rest tonight. God bless you all. I love you. You all have a good night.
God bless. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Love you. Good night. Amen.